Well, I mentioned during the prayer time, we have been supporting many missionaries that do the work of sharing the gospel around the world. One of those missionaries that we've been partnering with for quite some time now is Catherine Ripley. I've always known her as Kit, so I feel kind of even odd saying your first name. I'm afraid I'm going to get it wrong. But anyway, Kit, it's wonderful to be able to see you again and have you with us. And she's going to share this morning again about her work in Thailand. And so would you help Kit just feel welcome? And I hope you feel at home here as much as possible and just whatever you want to share with us, okay? So God bless you.
Thank you. Well, good morning. It is a pleasure to be back with you again today. As Pastor Mark said, I've been serving as an American Baptist International Ministries missionary in Thailand for the last 15 years. And I want to start off by expressing my gratitude to you for your faithful prayers and financial support that enable me to continue serving in Thailand. Without you, I would not be able to do the work that I do. So thank you very much. Let's open with prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The text for today is from Psalm 107, verses 1 through 9. Psalm 107. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story, those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands from east and west, from north and south. Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. This psalm was originally sung as part of a liturgy for a thank offering worship service, and the most likely setting was after the return from the diaspora. What was it like for people to be lost in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle? I'd venture to say very few of us sitting here today have ever truly been lost in a desert, hungry and thirsty, exiled from home with no place to live. When I hear this, I think of refugees in the world today. I think of Christians from Pakistan who have suffered death threats for practicing their faith. Some have shown up in Chiang Mai, where I live. And many of these Christian believers are well-educated and used to be prominent members of society. They were teachers and they were engineers. But they had to escape secretly. They couldn't withdraw money from the bank or pack a bag. They just slipped away. And so they arrive with nothing. I think of Burmese refugees and Palestinian refugees and Syrian refugees. They're scattered all over the world. The UN Refugee Agency, UNHCR, cites the latest statistics that are available from 2015, which show that 65.3 million people globally have been forcibly displaced from their homes. To get some perspective on that figure, that's one in 113 people in the world today. In fact, UNHCR is now seeing the highest levels of forcible displacement ever recorded in history. Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. These are not just words on a page. It happened thousands of years ago, and it happens today. It happens on a global scale. in situations like war, persecution, and political oppression. It happens on a regional scale, in situations like drought, hurricanes, and flooding. And it happens on an individual scale, in situations like domestic violence, and fire, and human trafficking. And God cares about every single displaced person, every tear, every broken heart. Our text says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story." And that's why I'm here today. I want to share a story. It's a story about a wanderer, an exile displaced from her home. And I want you to hear this story not as today's entertainment, but because it's in stories where we encounter the living God. These are the scriptures written in the footsteps of a child. I serve as a missionary at the New Life Center Foundation in northern Thailand, and we work with tribal minority girls who have come out of situations of sexual abuse, domestic violence, and human trafficking. And right now, we have 67 girls in our residential program. They come from all different backgrounds, and each one has her own story. Today, I want you to hear the story of just one. I can't give you her real name, but we're going to call her Suwani today. And in fact, I'm going to let Suwani tell you her own story. You'll see in this video, her face is blacked out for confidentiality reasons, but you can hear her voice, and then you'll hear the voice of an interpreter.
Hello, I'm from the Thai Yai tribal group, and I was born in Thailand. I am the third of four children, and I come from a poor family. When I was three, my father took me to Burma to live with my grandmother. I had a happy childhood, and my grandmother loved me. But when I graduated from the sixth grade, there was no more schooling in my village. At that time, my father asked me to come back to Thailand to process my Thai citizenship card. But when I came to Thailand, my father forced me to work at a construction site. I wanted to go to school at the Thai public school, but my father said I was too old for school because I was 13 years old. At the construction site, I made bricks, mixed cement, and climbed high up in the scaffolding. My father told me that if I earned enough money, I could go back to my grandma. So I worked hard, but I never received any money because my father took everything I earned. My father also tried to sexually abuse me, but never succeeded. I didn't know where to turn for help. My mother couldn't help me because my father beat her and she was afraid for her life. One night, he even stabbed my mom with a knife. Sometimes he would beat me too. I didn't know what to do and I just started to cry. The next day, my father told me that he was going to take me to apply for my ID card. I was terrified. He took me to a cheap hotel and he tried to rape me again. But I started screaming and he stopped. That night, I didn't dare go to sleep because I was scared of him. The next day, he drove me out into the jungle where there were no people and tried to rape me again. He threatened me and told me not to resist, but I fought him off with a sharp stick. When he moved away from me, I got up and ran into the jungle, fleeing for my life. I just kept on running and running. I could hear him call me, but I didn't stop, and he couldn't keep up with me. I kept running even when it got very dark. I had my cell phone with me, so I used the light from my phone to see the way. I found an old dirt road and followed it. Whenever I heard the sound of a car, I would run back into the forest and hide. I walked for many hours until I arrived at a village. I went into the village and bought a bottle of water from a shop. I called my mother and she told me to talk to the village chief. I talked to him and he let me stay at his home for a few days. Then a distant relative came and took me to the New Life Center in the city of Chiang Mai. Now I live at the New Life Center and I feel safe here. I go to school and I am learning the Thai language. I can even read and write. We also do lots of fun activities, and I especially like to play the guitar. I have also learned about Thai laws and children's rights. The New Life Center social worker helped me find my grandmother in Burma, and I went to visit her during the school holidays. During my time here, I learned that God loves me, and I accepted Jesus into my heart. I was baptized in 2015. I would like to thank the New Life Center for accepting me and for helping me apply for a Thai ID card. When other people hear my story, I want them to know that although problems may come our way, God always has a good plan for us. And no matter how hard or painful that situation may seem, God is with you. As the Bible says, He will wipe every tear from our eyes, and there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain.
Suwanee was an exile, a refugee displaced from her home. And her story is a story of courage, a story of grit. Suwanee somehow dug down and found the rare courage and strength at 13 years old to escape from her abuser. This child wandered in desert wastelands, and God led her to a city where she could settle and be safe and come to know Him. She was snatched out of the clutches of darkness by the power of God before she even knew He existed. And her experience led her to trust in the Lord. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story, those He redeemed from the hand of the foe. One way that I'm helping people tell their stories is through creating visual art. Sometimes girls like Suwanee can't find words to express the terrible grief in their hearts. But at the New Life Center, day by day and week by week, survivors are finding the courage to be brave. And the miraculous healing work of the Holy Spirit begins. It happens through a holistic program of education, counseling, life skills workshops, therapeutic art, Bible study, and other activities. It's inspiring to hear how God is at work in dramatic stories like this one. And Suwanee's story affects not just her own life, but she inspires everyone around her. As I have had the privilege of working with young girls like Suwanee for the last 15 years, the Lord has also been doing some soul renovation in me. I'm now 46 years old, and while I have not experienced the kind of trauma that Suwanee has, I'm facing my own kinds of challenges. Researcher Brené Brown talks about how we tend to glorify beginnings and endings, but it's the middle of the story where the real character development happens. I can vouch for that. Over the last 6 years, I've developed some food allergies, or intolerances as they're called, and the situation has gotten progressively worse over time. I've now reached a point where my food options are pretty limited. No dairy, no eggs, no chicken, no gluten, no sugar, no beans, no cooking oil, no preservatives, the list goes on. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm deeply grateful that I don't have any kind of life-threatening problem. Suwanee's story helps me to keep things in perspective. And I know that my situation is simply an inconvenience compared to what many people endure. But I do find it incredibly frustrating because I'm American after all. And I feel like it is my God-given right to eat potato chips. I hate inconveniencing other people. I hate being that person with the food issues. I hate that I can't share communion with the rest of the church. And my friends are reluctant to invite me out to dinner because, you know, it's no much fun to watch my friends eating dinner and ice cream, and I'm sitting around watching them. I've pleaded with God about this, and I continue to hold out hope that one day God may intervene. God is the great physician, and he has healed many people. And someday we will all be with him in glory and our bodies will be made whole. But for now, God has not yet healed me of this problem. So how do I make sense of this situation and my frustration? As I look back over the last few years, it seems that at this point in my life, God is inviting me to a journey inward, to slow down the pace of life and listen to the rhythms of the Holy Spirit. And it doesn't come naturally for me. My MO has always been work harder, press forward, be responsible. And I want to trust God. But the truth is that I prefer being in control. And I come by it honestly. There are a lot of workaholics in my family. And my family's self-worth comes from productivity and purposeful work, even if it eventually gives you a heart attack. And so I kept working my 65-hour work weeks. And in living this way, I had bought into a lie of exhaustion as a status symbol. Because, you know, being busy and being exhausted makes you a more virtuous person in our American values. Here's the problem. It's not biblical. Old Testament scholar Alan Davis writes that the Sabbath commandment, the most frequently reiterated of all 613 commandments in the Bible, demands that we break the habit of constant busyness. Far from congratulating us on the ability to keep working despite physical, mental, and emotional exhaustion, the Bible declares that the failure to set appropriate limits on work is a criminal offense of the highest order. In fact, in Exodus 31, it says that whoever profanes the Sabbath will surely be put to death. Indeed, everyone who does work on that day, that soul will be cut off from among her people. That's pretty serious business, isn't it? So my constant busyness is not an admirable trait. In fact, it's an affront to God. And so God figured out a way to break the cycle of workaholism and to force me to slow down. Now I have to make fresh meals from fresh ingredients every single day. No more grabbing a yogurt as I run out the door. And through this experience, I am learning to practice Sabbath rest. I'm giving up my belief in exhaustion as a status symbol. I'm also learning a lot of self-control. And I'm gaining a new appreciation of my daily dependence on the Lord. Give us this day our daily bread. Once I started listening to the Lord, the Holy Spirit began tugging at my soul to do more with art ministry in Thailand. And I've received invitations from lots of organizations to do therapeutic art classes with their beneficiaries. I've been asked to lead therapeutic art workshops. And I've been leading art and prayer retreats for spiritual development. And every year there are requests for more. I'm also rediscovering my own creativity as I'm more aligned with the Holy Spirit. And over the last year, I've begun building friendships with the local community of Thai Buddhist artists so that I can be salt and light in that place. Once I discussed these developments with the national director of the New Life Center, she affirmed this calling in my life. And she invited me to continue basing my work at the New Life Center, but expanding the Imago Art Ministry into the community as a further outgrowth of the New Life Center's vision to empower survivors of trauma and to shine the light of Jesus in our community. So while my frustrating food issues remain, and God has not healed me physically, God's glory is still being revealed, even in my own weakness. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. God redeemed Suwani when she was in exile, without a home. And God rescued me from a distorted view of work so that I can enjoy both work and Sabbath rest. Are there exiles and refugees in your community? In what ways is God calling you to reach out to them? When we see news stories of Syrian refugees, and when we hear that 65.3 million people have been forcibly displaced from their homes, it can seem overwhelming. How can you possibly make a dent in those kind of statistics? And you can't. But you can make a difference in the life of one person. You can help one Suwani find a place to live. You can help one refugee learn English. You can offer foster care for one child. You can financially support one woman's shelter. There are exiles and refugees all around you if you will look for them. Ask the Lord how you can be a part of His mission to deliver people from their distress and to find a safe place to settle. And in what ways are you also an exile and a refugee yourself? Are you in need of a safe place to call home? Are you exiled from an intimate relationship with God? Cry out to the Lord. Bear your heart and soul to Him, and He will deliver you. Maybe not in the way you think, but in the way you need it the most. Let us give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever.
Thank you so much, Kit. I appreciate that. And thank you for sharing your personal testimony and what God is working in your life, even in the midst of your challenges right now. I think that really brings it home, I know, for a lot of us with challenges that we face in life. So we'll continue to be, obviously, praying for you. And just thank you again for sharing that and your openness to what God's doing, even in the midst of your weakness.